You are now tuned in to HMI Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Peace, love, and gratitude on this fourth lunar day in April. I am Anem A. Bay here on HMI Radio. And again, I'm back to bring you another great episode entitled Crystal Technology and More with Brother Roz Ben. First, before I jump into the heart of things, I want to acknowledge the instrumental piece played at the intro. It is actually the instrumental to Natural Mystic by Bob Marley. I always like to give credit to independent as well as selected mainstream artists for making such phenomenal music. I play their music in hopes that you'll like it, share it, and spread the love through music and what they have to offer. All right, all right, all right. It is early in the morning. This is a first for me, I must say. Brother Roz Ben woke me up this morning. Are you here, Rosbin? Uh-oh. Did we lose you? Brother Rosbin? All right. Well, hopefully we'll just hang on and hopefully he'll join us. Let me check my levels here. Brother Rosbin, are you here?
Yes, I am.
Bless you. All right. There you are.
Yeah. Somebody was calling in right at that moment. I apologize.
It's all good. It's all good. All right. Well, getting down to the show, I would like to thank you for allowing us the time to explore your knowledge of crystal technology. Brother Roz Ben, welcome to HMI Radio.
Yes, I give thanks. Honor to be on with you.
Yes, yes. Brother Roz Ben is also the author of the renowned book called Rock of Ages that I'm thankful to have. I was searching for that book, and when I found it on Amazon, I was blown away because people were selling it from anywhere for about $150 up to $1,000. Like, good gracious.
Right. I saw that. Yeah, you know, it was temporarily out of print, but I did just get a new reprint in. So, yeah, I think you got one of the first copies hot off the press.
Good. Yay. Hand claps.
Yes, I.
Well, I'll say after reading the first few pages, because I have so many books that started to read and have not gotten back into them just yet. My life just gets a little busy. I have a 17-year-old, so you already know my hands are full right now.
That's right. I know that's right.
Well, I would say that the first few pages of the book, your knowledge of history and crystals, to me, are priceless. And for some listeners that are new to crystal technology, could you explain what crystal technology is and how long have you studied it?
Okay. Well, crystal technology, really all modern technology is crystal technology. That's one thing we should mention. That, you know, our cell phones, computers, the lights. We got these LED lights. I mean, you name it. All modern technology is crystal technology, you know, because a crystal is anything that has an organized molecular structure. Okay? So, you know, water can be crystallized. You know, carbon can be crystallized, silica can be crystallized, aluminum can be crystallized. Any element has a crystalline potential, you know. Its molecules can be organized in a a symmetrical balanced pattern. And why that's important is because when molecules are organized, it gives that material energy potential. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Western science uses that. So our when we have like CD players or DVD players and we see that laser light, that's light being passed through a ruby crystal, or if it's Blu-ray, a sapphire crystal. And the organized molecules in that, and those is pure crystallized aluminum.
Mm-hmm.
When the light passes through, it gets organized, and you can encode information in that organized light. So that's what's up with the CD players. Computers, cell phones, quartz, silica technology, you know, which is the same thing as glass, but with organized molecular structure. And quartz is good for storing information. And that's, you know, that's what's up with the computers. So, but the issue with all of those crystals that I just mentioned is that they're denatured. They're denatured. So it's just, they have the same impact on us as the white flour, the refined sugar, denatured foods. You know how denatured foods tend to toxify the body?
Yes.
Working with denatured crystals has the same impact. So, you know, who's not surrounded with a cell phone? Who's not surrounded by computers? Who's not surrounded by these artificial lights? You know what I'm saying? So we're bombarding ourselves with denatured energy coming off of denatured crystals. And it's causing problems. It's causing health issues. So we need to use crystals, just like how, what's the remedy for denatured foods? Natural foods.
Exactly.
You know? So it's the same with the denatured crystals. We need natural crystals, crystals straight from the earth, you know? And you mentioned my book, Rocks of Ages. It's a very different book. If you are expecting an A to Z encyclopedia of crystals, you may be disappointed, because really what Rocks of Ages is about is making you the book, making your body the book, you know, where all the elements that are in the crystals are in our body.
Yes.
If we know what organ those elements are stored in, what metabolic processes those elements are involved in, we can kind of make psycho-spiritual extensions. And from there, we become the book, you know. So learning about crystals corresponds with learning about the chemistry of your body, and you know, really knowing yourself deeper. And also, there's another reality that, you know, there never was a time we were not. We're eternal beings. So in one of our lifetimes, past or future, we more than likely are crystal masters.
Oh, wow.
So that's in our DNA. That's why we... that's why we explore so much history from a, we might say, a crystalline perspective. To awaken that in your DNA, you know?
And that is
so
true.
So we are the book, you know? Yes,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that was it. I just wanted to say that that's, again, part of us being the book, that in our DNA is all that we need to know about our connection to the crystals. So but that information is dormant in a lot of people. Rocks of Ages hopefully awakens that in.
And how long would you say you've studied crystals?
Well, I've been working with the Mineral Nation since about 1988.
Wow.
And I was a young brother fresh out of college working at a health food restaurant and ended up catering a spiritual retreat where a brother named Artis, who runs the Body Ecology Wellness Center out of Southern Virginia, was doing a workshop for an elder named Jertha Love, who had a, what do you say, like a metaphysical church. And a spiritual congregation in Washington, D.C. And I was actually working for the brother, Kiwe Bay. We catered the retreat, and that was really my first exposure to crystals, you know. And I would say that the Mineral Nation kind of kidnapped me. I wasn't planning on making this my mission, you know. But it awakened something in me. That began this journey.
I tell you, there are a lot of things that I didn't intend to start out doing along my journey, and I've been pulled away to do different things. Whoever knew that I would become a metaphysical minister? But here I am. So I totally can understand being pulled along your journey to complete certain things here. Now, I know in your book you really go extensively in the history of not just the crystals, but you're talking about the Mayan culture. And like I said, I haven't gotten that far just yet. But could you explain the history behind crystals and how it relates to melanated people?
You know, you were breaking up. What kind of crystals did you want me to speak on?
I'm sorry. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I was stating that in your book you talk a lot extensively about the history, not just referring to crystals, but you're talking about the Mayan history. And as I stated, I haven't gone that far in the book, but I was asking, could you relate or talk about the history concerning crystals and how it relates to melanated people?
Okay. Yes. Well, when you look at you know, indigenous cultures worldwide, right? Whenever you see a pinnacle of cultural achievements, right, like megalithic, monolithic architecture, a vast awareness of cosmological science expressed, you know, like, you know, aware, like keeping track of star systems and chronicling star time, and again, that monolithic, megalithic architecture seeming to be aligned with that vast awareness of the cosmos, right? You see our cultures expressed on that level. There is usually a profound and intimate use of crystals and sacred stones, at least with the nobility and priesthood. But oftentimes it could be, you know, with the whole populace, you know, such as the Nile Valley and certain times within Olmeca. So I would say working with crystals and sacred stones really is a part of when we are expressing the pinnacle of our indigenous cultures, you know, the height. Because it does bring out the best in us.
Yes.
You know, working with crystals can be seen as what you might say a spiritual technology.
Mm-hmm.
Where when we talk about spirit, we're talking about life force energy.
Yes.
You know, which is both inside of us and outside of us. You know. And technology is the use of tools to do something, you know. So we're talking about spiritual technology. We're talking about using tools, which, again, in this context, crystals and sacred stone, to augment, enhance, generate, harmonize life force energy. And why I say it's both inside and outside of us, because, right, we were using the crystals and sacred stones to heal ourselves. You know, it was part of a pharmacopoeia of wellness. You know, but we also use, you know, things from the plant kingdom, things from the animal kingdom, along with things with the mineral kingdom, right? Well, we also use crystals and sacred stones and their ability to channel life force energy in the creation of our megalithic and monolithic architecture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really the missing science to why, like, you know, Western man today can't replicate the creation of the pyramids or the Sphinx or the rock-hewn churches of Ethiopia or the step pyramids here in the Americas, you know. There was some technology that our ancient ancestors were using that allowed them to manipulate monolithic, meaning one stone, right? So like how the Sphinx, they, you know, it's called the Sphinx, but you know, it has other names, but I'll just use that so people can visualize what I'm speaking on. You know, that's carved out of one stone. It's a monolithic structure.
Yeah.
The Great Pyramids, those are megalithic, you know, large stone structures. Rock-hewn churches of Ethiopia, monolithic, one stone. You know, the step pyramid in the Americas, megalithic, large stone. But all of those structures, whether they're mega or monolithic, there's a technology that was used by our ancestors that conceptually, like, you know, Western man with its mechanical physics can't conceptualize. Because, again, it was part of a spiritual technology.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, and it was just a part of using life force energy as a part of creating architecture, using crystals and sacred stones.
Like, I feel like in today's society, a lot of people study crystals very superficially. And what I mean by that is that many know the basics of what crystals are and their function, like the type of crystal, a small knowledge of its energy potential and vaguely what that potential do or does or will do. Many are not aware of its full power and how it can be used with or against our natural frequency. I just want to help bridge the gap, and I know you touched on this briefly at the beginning, but could you explain the difference between crystal trichnology and crystal technology?
That's an excellent question, and that again is why I wrote Rocks of Ages kind of to be the antithesis of the A to Z encyclopedia.
Mm-hmm.
And I would ultimately say that it is the formatting of information on crystals in that way that set up the superficial relationship, you know, because
mm-hmm.
ultimately what those A to Z encyclopedia on crystals are is one person's interpretation
mm-hmm.
of what the crystals can do.
Mm-hmm.
And more often than not, someone will read that and think, well, that's it. You know, that's what I, you know, I'm using the crystal for, and that's what it's going to do. And you know
mm-hmm.
what? That interpretation might actually be correct. It might be a valid
mm-hmm.
interpretation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But also limit the full potential
mm-hmm.
of
I agree.
What the, you know, what can be unlocked with that crystal in that particular person.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why if we make ourselves the book,
mm-hmm.
know what those elements do within ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I feel like the insight coming from that perspective is what really empowers one to be empowered with crystals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's
mm-hmm. I remember.
So,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, because also there's this importance of what you might call intuition, inner knowing, and inner communication,
mm-hmm.
okay, where we all have a intuitive self, a way of knowing and being informed from, what do you say, our divine self,
mm-hmm.
or maybe the
Hi.
Spirit guides, angels, ancestors that work with us, you know?
Yes.
And that's usually unfolds in a process of inner communication.
Yes.
A lot of us don't even really pay attention to how we think, where
mm-hmm.
our thoughts are coming from, and don't look to inside of ourselves as a source of information.
Mm-hmm.
But working with crystals and the mineral nation is a great way to cultivate that. Because you might
mm-hmm.
get, you might see a crystal, you don't know nothing about it. You don't know its name, you don't know its color. I mean, you don't know its the elements in it. You just see it, but there's something inside of you that's
mm-hmm.
drawn to that crystal. And let's say you just go with it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Crystal costs $44, but hey, what I'm feeling inside is so strong, I'm going to just go ahead and buy it. So you get it.
Mm-hmm.
And you might get another strange urge from inside to, like, give it away or throw it in the river or put it in your pillow, put it in
mm-hmm.
your shoe. Wow, it's real uncomfortable, but, you know, but whatever
mm-hmm.
that other urge is, you follow it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You'll get a double blessing.
Because mm-hmm.
whatever breakthrough, energy release, balancing, whatever energy exchange you needed, you're going to get that.
Mm-hmm.
But then next time your inner self tells you something or informs you of something, you're going to be more inclined to listen.
Mm-hmm.
So that process of working with crystals and following the intuitive guidance that oftentimes we feel with crystals, right?
Mm-hmm.
A good
mm-hmm.
way to cultivate our inner knowing. And again, that's something that rocks of ages is, the intention is to cultivate that.
Now, I know when I was at your crystal workshop in Philly at the Sun Art Gallery, you talked about how when a person vibrates and attracts to a certain crystal, often that is a telltale sign of what type of mineral that the body lacks. Can you explain a little bit more about that?
Sure. Well, there's a principle in creation called consubstantiation. It's a big fancy word that means we're all of the same substance. The same calcium that's in calcite, same calcium that's in our skeletal system. Same silica that's in quartz, same silica in our brain and nervous system. Same iron in our hemoglobin, same iron in hematite and pyrite, right? So more often than not, when we are attracted to a crystal, it's because there is some form of imbalance with the elements that are in that crystal within our own body. And the body is seeking to balance energetically, you know? So, for example, I mean, a very easy one to visualize would be ones that are anemic, low iron in the blood. Iron is, iron stones are the generators of magnetism. Okay? You know, iron, like nature's magnets, magnetite and lodestone, they're, iron that has an organized molecular structure. But if you run a current, you run an electrical charge through iron, it's going to magnetize, right?
Gotcha.
Now, if you're anemic, not only are you going to, like, have low vitality and, don't feel like you have energy to do things, but you're also going to have a paleness, a pallor to your countenance, right? Eyes sunken, your aura, your glow is going to be, low. And you're not going to have a magnetic countenance. Also might find that you're in a rut and not manifesting, not attracting the people and the situations that you need to be successful in the things you're intending. Right? So, you definitely want to make sure you're eating iron-rich foods, but then to make it a holistic approach to it, would include working with iron-rich stones like hematite, bloodstone, right? Pyrite, iron and sulfur, firestone. These things will magnetize and get you back on that magi state,
Got it. I know I was listening to one of your YouTube clips. I think someone may have taken this clip from someone and uploaded. You know how they upload and everybody has a different title?
Yeah.
So this one is talking about the power of sand, silica, and quartz. I know you mentioned there are 12 types of crystals in that video. out of the 12 types of crystals, is there any particular one that's more important? And if so, why?
Okay. Excellent question. So quartz is workhorse of the mineral kingdom. You know, quartz does so much. And the analogy I like to use, okay, so we live in a omniverse where, if you know universal law, one of them,
mm-hmm.
everything is vibration. Everything has a specific frequency, right?
Yes.
And because of that, if you have a material that can manipulate, generate, harmonize, balance a wide spectrum of frequencies and energy,
mm-hmm.
that material is very important, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And nature has seemed to have made three on here that we experience on Earth that are like really important when it comes to that. One is chlorophyll, okay? When you think about chlorophyll, it's a green pigment that can transform energy from the sun into life force energy, not only for the plant,
mm-hmm.
but the ecosystem it's a part of, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Second material is melanin, which is mm-hmm. a pigment, right, found
mm-hmm.
in humanity that does the same thing chlorophyll does to the plant. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Third material is quartz.
Mm-hmm.
We could say chlorophyll is to the plant as melanin is to the human, as quartz is to the planet.
Mm-hmm.
We know chlorophyll is vital to plants. We know melanin is vital for humans. And we know why. Because, it conducts, resonates,
mm-hmm.
semiconducts wide spectrums of energy.
Mm.
You know? Quartz does the same thing.
Mm.
And that is really why it's the foundation of most modern technology,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
The quartz is very important. Has a lot of the same energy potentials as melanin and chlorophyll.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's, when we talk about melanin, when we study ancient Kemet, ancient Egypt, they use crystals, they tended to use crystals that had the building blocks of the elements found in melanin, specifically
mm-hmm.
carbon, copper, and sulfur. So lapis lazuli was a prized stone in the Nile Valley.
Yes.
Sulfur rich. Okay. Malachite, azurite, highly valued and used a lot in the Nile Valley. Copper rich.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. The alabaster, calcite, carbon rich.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As a matter of fact, azurite is copper carbonate, so it has two of the melanin feeders in it. So the
mm-hmm.
carbon family, copper family, sulfur family of crystals, very important for melanated people.
Mm-hmm.
Sulfur stones, sphalerite, pyrite, and lapis.
Mm-hmm.
Copper family, azurite, which is copper carbonate, malachite, copper oxide,
mm-hmm.
chrysocolla, copper silicate, turquoise, copper sulfide.
Mm.
Okay, there are others, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
those are four and to just know right off.
Yeah,
and
they'll take up the whole show.
Oh, true.
Go ahead.
Carbon family.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Feldspars
mm-hmm.
and house sites.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right. Well, I'm going to pause for a second. I apologize for not doing this at the beginning, but for the audience, anyone that would like to call in to speak to Brother Rosbin, you can call 607-203-5489. And remember to press 1 to speak to the host. I'm going to maybe ask one more question here. We can pause and take a small break. And, you know, if someone's on, we'll take the call. If not, then we'll just keep on going. What I do want to ask, and let's see, I got so many questions here. there are a lot of people that now they are starting to wear crystals, you know, and you have the portion of the population that knows a little bit more in-depthly what crystals are, and you have the ones that may be just following a trend. If a person's energy is not really aligned with crystals or knowing about crystals or anything, they just wearing it as a trend, would wearing a crystal benefit them in any way, or would the crystal potential work against them? And I know that sounds kind of crazy, but I'm just trying to make a point for some that may be just getting into the trend of wearing crystals and not knowing exactly anything about it. Would you say the crystal would be would work with them or work against their energy in some way?
Well, you know, with any tool, you want to use it wisely, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. misusing the tool can you can hurt yourself if you misuse a tool, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that does apply with crystals. And I would say if you are wearing a crystal, you do want to be in tune with yourself. And aware of your feelings, aware of your vitality, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would say something that is very important is to make sure you are properly hydrated when wearing crystals. I think one of the easiest ways to kind of do harm to yourself working with crystals of any nature to be dehydrated and working with them. Because you got extra energy moving through your body and maybe not enough hydration to support it healthfully, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So proper hydration, I think, is key. You want to know the chakra systems of your body. Right? Be informed of that. Know the colors and the locations of the chakras and the organs that correspond to the chakras.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Those things, I think, are important.
Mm-hmm.
And why I say that, because, for example, black tourmaline, which is a protection stone, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the way it protects is through grounding out unwanted energy, just like how we have a three-prong electric outlet, and that third prong is for grounding out unwanted energy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wear black tourmaline high on the body, like above your heart, when it's grounding energy out, that energy is going to pass through vital organs.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
So black tourmaline corresponds to that root chakra, which resonates with black.
Mm-hmm.
It's wise to wear it around there, you know? So if you know the chakras, you have some idea where it's best to wear certain colors, right? You
mm-hmm.
should be aware of color, color impact on the body,
mm-hmm.
right? If you have an inflamed condition, right,
mm-hmm.
you have inflammation
mm-hmm.
going on somewhere in your body, it might not be wise to wear red stones.
Wow.
Or hot, you know, what they
wow.
would call a hot stone, right? And
mm-hmm.
conversely, if you have stagnation, circulation, and other energy moving issues, you wouldn't want to wear cool stones like blue, you know, the blue spectrum,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, all this is what Rocks of Ages focuses on.
Yes.
You know, colors impact on the body, how they correspond with the chakras, and then dealing with the stones accordingly, you know?
Yes.
There's three
yes.
stones, three colors that you can wear, what do you say, just, you know, with no counterindication.
Mm-hmm.
They're not primary colors. There's the green, orange, and purple. They're all blends, you know, the blends
mm-hmm.
of counterbalances. So, for example, purple is a blend of red and blue.
Mm-hmm.
So red warms, blue cools.
Mm-hmm.
Purple is, you know, it's not going to inflame nor stagnate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, you do want to be aware of that. These are the things you want to inform yourself and be attentive of when you're wearing crystals. You know?
So am I, I'm still learning about certain things, especially with crystals. Now, I do have my smoky quartz that I wear around my waistline. Is that a good place
okay.
or not?
Yeah. Well, smoky is considered a black stone, correct?
Yes.
So, yeah, it would correspond with that root chakra. But I'm glad you brought that up because there are always, they're always what you might say, exceptions to the rules. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Smoking quartz is also translucent, which means light can pass through it, unlike
mm-hmm.
black tourmaline, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I have used smoky quartz at the crown to clear out
mm-hmm.
unwanted energy, so, you know. So, you know, translucentness is another, beyond just the color, can light pass
mm-hmm.
through it. Light can pass through it, then that might open up the stone to be used in other places than just that corresponding chakra.
Good. Good. And I have my lapis at my throat. It's around my neck, close to my throat area. And from my understanding, it's considered a throat chakra stone as well.
Yes. Some consider lapis a first eye stone because it's
mm-hmm.
a royal blue, you know,
mm-hmm.
close to that purple. And some say the sky blue. Stones
mm-hmm.
correspond more with the throat.
Mm-hmm.
But I say it's what feels right and proper for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Another good science to be aware of when you're working with crystals is kinesiology
mm-hmm.
or dowsing.
Okay.
Kinesiology being muscle testing, you know?
Okay.
Where if you know about muscle testing, right, somebody give you a bag of sugar. Let's say
mm-hmm.
someone gives you a jar of molasses
mm-hmm.
and then test your muscle strength. More than likely, you're going to test real strong. They take
mm-hmm.
that bottle of molasses out your hand and give you a bag, 5-pound bag of white sugar
mm-hmm.
and then test your muscle strength. You probably will have very little resistance. because energetically that white sugar is weakening your body.
Right? Oh, yeah.
So that's also a good test, a good way to determine if a crystal is good for you energetically or not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, dousing and using a pendulum is also a good way. Highly recommended.
Yes. Now, I know my partner, she's a Reiki master, and she attuned me to Reiki level 3, and she uses her pendulum religiously. That is her thing there. So,
yes.
I totally agree. Now, when I met you in Philly, you were talking also about the best places to purchase crystals. Where would that be for anyone that's interested in purchasing, as I call, pure crystals, and why?
Well, just as there is fair trade,
mm-hmm.
right? And green harvesting of food and other products, the same with crystals.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say as much as possible, you want to avoid the corporate hand, because usually if there's a corporation involved, there might be violent ways or environmentally friendly ways of extracting the crystal from the earth,
mm-hmm. you know,
like blowing up the earth or
mm-hmm.
polluting rivers to get the stones, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it might also be forced labor, child labor.
Gotcha.
Okay. So I go to the Tucson Gem and Mineral Show every year, which
mm-hmm.
allows me to get crystals from, you know, that are kind of more aligned with the fair trade, ecologically mm-hmm. harvested. And I think you do feel the difference,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do get a crystal and you're not really sure how it was harvested or if the labor around it was forced or not,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's where frankincense and myrrh and
mm-hmm.
sage, Palo Santo and other incense purifiers,
mm-hmm.
sunlight, moonlight, fresh running water, prayer, all of these things can cleanse and recharge a crystal, you know.
Got it. Well, I knew I said that we were going to take a break, but that didn't happen. And there's no one on the line, and that's fine. I, as I stated before, my show is not dependent on callers. If you know, we have guests that call. I'm
yeah.
sorry.
And it's archived, so folk can come and visit. Correct.
Exactly.
Yes.
So, you know, I don't depend on anyone to call. Actually, we're here for the learning more so than anything. But if you, anyone out there that wants to listen later, you can definitely go on demand and view past as well as this show. Brother Rosbin, I want to make sure people know how to connect with you and your work. Where could they go to find you?
My website is rosbin.com, rasben.com. My email address is rosbin188@gmail.com. And, that's the safest ways to link me, you
mm-hmm.
know, the most consistent. And, yes.
Okay. Now, I know you're going to be speaking at the Free Your Mind Conference, correct?
Yes, that's the event I have coming up in April. So, Free Your Mind Conference. This is going to be the third one I've been a part of. I call them the Blow Your Mind Conferences. They, yeah, they really are. You meet some powerful people and hear some mind-blowing information. So,
where could folks go to find out more information about that conference and when you'll be speaking?
Okay. Well, it is a three-day conference, which is, I think it's April 15th through the 17th, Friday through Sunday. I'm presenting Sunday, 17th in the afternoon, which is a change, I guess, you know, they got a more prominent speaking position this year. Usually was like early morning, you know, the past couple of years. So, but I think information and tickets can be found at freeyourmindconference.com, or just search for Free Your Mind Conference, Free Your Mind Conference 2016. Okay.
Okay.
They also have a Facebook page, Free Your Mind Conference 4. And tickets are available online.
Okay.
And I recommend, to be honest, I recommend the 3-day pass. You know?
Okay.
Don't come just to see myself, because And the first year I went, I really didn't know what to expect. But like I said, I was blown away. Last year, I was just thoroughly impressed with the organization of it, the lineup of speakers. Like every speaker was just bringing a powerful information. You know, definitely worth it. So
I know I'll be there this year. I will be there.
Awesome.
Definitely. Definitely. Well, Brother Rosbin, I want to thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure having you.
No worries. And thank you for accommodating my time. I know you're trying to fit it in that fourth Sunday slot.
Yeah.
But, yeah, thanks for accommodating the time and helping help spread the word on my missions, you know?
No problem. I enjoy doing this. I think you have a wealth of knowledge that a lot of us can benefit from. So I'm put in this position to help spread. So I do thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right. We are coming to the end of the broadcast, and I want to thank everyone for tuning in this morning. I know I had a blast, and I'm grateful once again for the opportunity to connect with Brother Rosbin. Also, I would like for you out there to mark your calendar for April the 24th at 6 p.m. as I talk with Naja Wright Brown about the hip hop green movement in her vegan restaurant located in Baltimore, Maryland, called the Land of Kush. To find out more about the next upcoming show, or just to listen to this show and other shows on demand, you can log on to hmiradio.info or go to HMI Radio on Facebook, or just check us out right here on Blog Talk. You can also view the info links that Brother Rosbin has given you, links for this show, and much, much more on hmiradio.info, along with some of Brother Rosbin's lectures that I was talking about, the YouTube lectures. Also, next Sunday on the 10th, stop by Mind, Body, and Soul Food Radio on Blog Talk to tune into Healing with Music with guest Leah Gilmore and host Tanya Parker. So make sure you log on to Blog Talk Radio on your part to find out the times. And again, I thank you for stopping by. I'm an day, and I look forward to your presence here again on HMI Radio. Peace, namaste, and ashe.
I'm not afraid.